Well, good morning again. It's good to be here in God's house with you all. Thank you, each one that had a part already in the service. And thank you for coming on this beautiful Memorial Day weekend. Before we turn to the Word of God, would you join me as we talk to the God of the Word? Our Father in heaven, thank you for meeting with us today. Thank you for your love, your mercy, and your grace. Thank you that we do not receive the judgment our sins deserve, but instead can have a personal relationship with you through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes. We want to see Jesus, for we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, you know, remembering is hard to do. It's harder for some of us than for others. I tell people that when I hit 50 a while back, my remember kept working, but my forgetter kicked into overdrive. And some of you know what I mean. Forgetfulness affects us all. I read about a couple that met in college once, and the guy finally got up the courage to ask the girl out. And at the end of their first date, he wanted to kiss. But she said, "Well, will you remember me tomorrow?" He said, "Of course." "Well, will you remember me next week?" "Yes," he said. "Will you remember me next year?" "Of course." She said, "I don't think you will." He said, "Yes, I will. I'll never forget you." And then she said, "Knock, knock." He said, "Who's there?" She said, "See, I told you you'd forget me." Well, Memorial Day is a day to remember, isn't it? It's about remembering the men and women who gave their lives defending our freedom. And it's right for us to honor them. We need to teach our children and grandchildren well so that they understand that freedom isn't free, or they'll soon forget if we don't teach them. So as Americans this weekend, we remember the sacrifice of some for the freedom of all. But as Christians, we are also reminded of the sacrifice of one for the freedom of all who believe. Why? Because we don't always remember what we should as citizens or as Christians. And that's why we have a Memorial Day, and that's why we have the Bible to remind us and help us remember. Now, I like this picture here because it kind of brings the two things together. We see a picture here of a soldier saluting. See the poppy reminding us of the ones who have died. But we also have the cross. And what does the cross remind us of? Our Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2, please. 2 Timothy chapter 2, where we're going to read about remembering. See if you can pick it up as we read the scripture. It's also going to be on the screen. I'm using the English Standard Version. 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. The Apostle Paul is writing to his mentee, his son in the faith, Timothy. And he says this. He said, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." Then he says, "An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hardworking farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything." And then he says in verse 8, "Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." This is the word of God. Well, what's the most important thing to remember as a Christian, Paul? Well, the Bible says that we are to remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. You know, the gospel is very simple. It's very simple. Some today have twisted the gospel and they've made it all about us. But the gospel isn't about you or me. It's not about my being blessed. The gospel, first and foremost, is about Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin, was buried, and on the third day rose again and was seen by hundreds of people. That's the gospel. It's very simple. It's very simple. Never forget it. It's the good news about Jesus that saves a man or woman from hell. There are very important facts about Christ that we do need to remember, though, on this day of remembering. And if you'll remember these, you can forget your worries. Okay? If you remember these, you can forget your worries. The first fact about Jesus Christ that we should remember today is this. Very simple. Jesus loves you. He loves you. That's the message of the Bible. Now, yes, the message of the Bible is that you and I are more wicked than we ever imagined. But the message of the gospel is that you are more loved than you ever dreamed. You are more loved than you ever dreamed. Jesus loves you. He always has, and he always will. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 7, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Because of God's great love for you and me, several important things happen when you put your faith in Christ. Paul says that he makes us alive. He makes us alive even though we were dead in sin. We become alive spiritually. He then goes on to say that he seats us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Listen, we have a new position as a child of God, seated with Christ Jesus. And then he says he shows us the riches of his grace. What kind of riches? The incomparable riches of God's grace. Because of God's great love for us, we know what love is really all about. What's that? One of the most famous verses in the Bible, John 3:16 say? Read it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible tells us that God is love. If we haven't experienced God, we haven't experienced true unconditional love. He loves you today. Our salvation begins with one of the deepest theological truths ever told, and many of us learned it as a toddler, and here it is. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. There's no other religion in the world that tells us that God is love. Do you know that? Jesus loves me. He loves you. Well, what will you do? Will you respond to God's love for you today? Will you trust him as your Savior and Lord? Will you continue to trust him as your Savior and Lord? Some can't believe it, but it's true. God loves you. Will you love him too? Christian, will you return to your first love for the Lord? You remember what it was like when you first came to Christ, how much you loved him? But so sometimes over time, our love grows cold. We need to return, the Bible says, to our first love. Do you love Jesus? Do you love him as your Lord? Did you know Jesus gave us a test to see if our love for him was real? Do you know that? Here's the test. Jesus said, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. Love is shown by obedience. It's something we all struggle with as children, isn't it? Mm-hmm. But that's how we show love, by obeying the Lord. It's simple. If someone loves Jesus, what do? They obey him. If they don't love him, they don't obey him. It's that simple. It's that simple. So the first fact to remember about Jesus is that he loves you. The second fact to remember about Jesus Christ on this day for remembering is this. Jesus died for you and for me. He took our place. He died for our sin. The Bible says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for you to clean up your act. He didn't wait for you to become perfect. He died for us while we were still sinners. Now, someone might say, well, why did Christ have to die? The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness, no remission of sins. So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many people. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? Did you know after the first gospel sermon was preached on the day of Pentecost, you know what the people asked when they heard the message of the gospel? You know what they asked? Look at what they said. What shall we do? That's the proper response to the gospel. Well, what do I need to do? What shall we do? Well, what does the Bible say? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, what does that word repent mean? Well, I like the sign there. It's like making a U-turn, you know. We were running away from God. We were running towards sin. And when we repent, we turn away from sin and we turn back toward God and go toward Him away from sin. Too many people only confess their sin. And I've seen this. They confess it, but they don't repent of it. They don't repent of it. The Bible says we need to repent. And then when you're baptized, that's a public confession of faith that you have turned from sin and are following Jesus Christ. God adds in Romans 10, verse 9, He said, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you might be saved. Is that what it says? No, it says you will be saved. No doubt about it. No maybe, if, ands, ors, or buts. You will be saved. It's so simple. Stop trying to be good enough for God and just start trusting Jesus. That's the message of the Bible. If you've never put your faith in Christ, do it today. Do what I did. I cried out, God, I confess to you, I'm a sinner. I'm turning from my sin and following Jesus Christ as my Lord. I believe He died and rose for me. I want to be your child and I want you to be my God. The exact wording isn't important. The important thing is in your heart that you repent and are following Jesus as your Lord. Have you done that? If not, will you do it today? Christian friend, will you obey Jesus? Will you remember Him and what He's done for you? You know how we remember Jesus regularly here at Lakeside Church? We have communion, okay? And Jesus, He said, if you're not busy now on communion Sunday, do this in remembrance of me. Is that what He said? No, He said, do it in remembrance of me. Okay, so far we've remembered that Jesus loves you. We've remembered that Jesus died for you. The third fact to remember about Jesus on this day for remembering is this. Jesus provides for you. He's called the good what? Shepherd. And a good shepherd takes care of his sheep. Jesus will provide for you. He'll care for your needs. The Bible says when they, speaking of the disciples, went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. And they were talking about it, and it says, aware of their discussion, Jesus asked, you have little faith, why are you talking among yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many basketfuls you gathered? Remember how many basketfuls they gathered? Do you remember? How many disciples were there? There was one basket for each disciple. There was a message there for them. And Jesus pointed back to it again. Remember, took care of you. There was more than enough. More than enough when people were hungry. Like the disciples, we forget that Jesus is the source for all our needs. How easy it is to forget that. Jesus had to remind them that He would supply their needs. He was sufficient to take care of them just as He had done in the past. And what does the Bible say? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He can do it in the past, He can do it now and in the future. The truth is, many of us need to be reminded of the provision of God from time to time. No matter what the need is, He can handle it. He can handle it. The Bible says, and my God will meet some of your needs according to... No, it's not what it says, is it? It says, my God will meet all your needs according to His riches and glory. What does all mean? We learned that in theological studies in seminary. All means all, and that's all means. It's real simple. Christian friend, this is not just a Bible times promise. It's also a promise for today, for all who obey Him and put their trust in Him. What will you do? What will you do? Instead of remembering, we get all worried and upset when we should be obeying and praying and trusting. Let me ask you, do you believe in God? I'm sure most of us here would say yes. Well, do you believe the God that you say you believe in? That's the question. There was a single Christian mom who heard a biblical financial teacher say this. He said, quit looking at your job as a source of your income. Look at your job as only one way that the source Almighty God uses to bring finances into your life. Begin to teach your children to look at their Heavenly Father as their source and not their parents. One day, she was talking to her daughter, and her daughter said, Mommy, I really want a bike like other kids have. The mother almost replied, Honey, I don't have enough money. But she stopped herself. That was her usual response. But she remembered what she had learned at the seminar. So she told her daughter, let's ask the Lord for a bike together. And so they prayed together and they thanked God for hearing their prayer. Well, a few days later, the little girl got a $25 check in the mail for her birthday. And so they went to the bank to cash the check, and on the way they noticed a man putting a bicycle out by the side of the road. The mother stopped the car and asked the man, what are you going to do with the bike? And the man said, well, his daughter had outgrown it, and he was going to sell it. So the little girl said, well, how much do you want for it? And he looked at her, and he said, for you, honey, $25, the exact amount that she had gotten for her birthday. And that little girl grew up not remembering a mother who worked hard to get a bike for her, but remembering a Heavenly Father who cared about an 8-year-old girl's desires. What a difference. God knows, and He's able to take care of us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, what have we learned? We learned that Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you, and Jesus will take care of you. He'll provide for you. And the fourth fact that we're going to finish looking at today about Jesus Christ on this day of remembering is that Jesus is coming back for you. Jesus is coming back for you if you're His child. His return is promised. The Bible says this same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven. The Bible adds that He will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for Him. Well, what does this mean for us? Now, some people use this fact to try to scare people into accepting Christ. Now, it's true that once the end comes, people will not have an opportunity to repent, and the devil and his antichrist, the Bible says, will deceive many people in the end times. But I believe that this truth is given to us as Christians so that we'll realize that time is short. The time to serve Jesus is short and requires our full attention. You remember in the book of Revelation, Jesus sends some letters to 7 different churches. Do you remember? Maybe you've heard about that or read about that. Here's what it says to one of them. The Bible says, and to the angel of the church of Sardis, and that was a city in what we call Turkey today, okay? To the angel or the leader of that church, write this. The words of Him who has the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars, I know your works. You have the reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember then what you received and heard. Keep it and repent. If you'll not wake up, I'll come like a thief, and you'll not know what hour I will come against you. Now this was a church that was once on fire and on mission for God. His priority was their priority, but over time, their love grew cold, and they lost their fervor, their enthusiasm. And even what was remaining was dying, Jesus said. This is a type of church that Jesus is very concerned about. But in verse 3, what does He tell them? He says, remember what you received and heard. Keep it or obey it and repent. Why? What's the urgency here? It comes in the second part of the verse as Jesus tells them if they don't wake up, He's going to come like a thief, and they're not going to know what time He's going to come, and there's going to be a penalty if they don't wake up. What about you? What will you do? Jesus is speaking to us today, to you and to me. He's telling us to remember the things we have learned. Yes, at one time we were hot for God. We were on fire for Him. We were on mission. But so many in the church are cold and have been lulled to sleep by the culture around us. And Jesus is saying to us, wake up! Wake up! We don't know when he's coming. We must watch and wait because he's coming soon. Sooner now than when these words were written. Jesus said, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. But I'm not sure most Christians believe that. So, well, Pastor, how can you say that? Well, you remember back in the winter, every time the weatherman says, there's a big blizzard coming, a big snowstorm is coming, what do people do? People get ready. You tell them bad weather's coming, they get prepared. But you tell people, Jesus is coming, and what do people do? Nothing. So I'm not sure we really believe it. So God is reminding us today. He's telling us through his word, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel. Will you remember that Jesus loves you, that he died for you, that he provides for you, and that he's coming back for you? Will you tell someone else about it? You know, the gospel brings us a peace, doesn't it? We understand our sins are forgiven. We're on the winning team at the end, right? And we have a purpose and a plan for our life. Other people need to know that too. You know what else? I think if we took Paul's advice seriously to remember Jesus Christ, some wonderful things would happen. First, I think the need for counseling amongst most Christians today might be eliminated. Some wonderful things would happen. Many people are looking for a gimmick to deliver us from our problems. You know, we go around, there's four steps to freedom. Oh, let me have that, you know. We don't want problems, or we want to find comfort to make us feel a little better. Listen, most of our problems would be eliminated if we took this truth seriously to remember Jesus Christ. And if we obeyed him. Jesus is the divine counselor, the friend who is available to meet your need. And if we believe that, I think we could experience immediate victory over the sins that so easily beset us. We'd be delivered from so much if at the moment of temptation we would remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead and what he has done for us. We could become wholesome, well-adjusted, well-balanced, loving people, able to cope with life no matter what it brought. That's the effect that obeying Jesus Christ can have on your life. Is that an exaggeration? No, not if we judge from the testimony of Christians in the Bible and through history. Remember that Paul wrote to the Philippians, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. He learned the secret of contentment. He said, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Whether he had what he needed or nothing at all, he knew how to be content. And then he tells us the secret. He said, I can do all things, how? Through Christ who strengthens me. How much could he do? How can he do it? Through Christ who strengthens. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I wonder why we so quickly forget that there is one who is given to strengthen us. And his name is Jesus. Paul wrote to the Colossians about his work. He said, to this end I labor, struggling with all his energy, which he so powerfully works in me. Do you ever think that when you were weary and tired under pressure, that Jesus can supply the ability to do what you no longer have the strength to do? When you feel like you can't do anymore, remember Jesus Christ, and you will find a supply of strength to do what you have to do. Well, today, in addition to being Memorial Day weekend, today is, interestingly, the 103rd running of the Indianapolis 500. Race car driver Bill Vukovich won it back-to-back in 1953 and 1954, a record of success that few drivers have matched. Somebody said to him, well, what's the secret of your success? And he replied with a very famous reply. He said, there's no secret. You just press the accelerator to the floor and steer left. You know, it's the same with following Jesus Christ. You just can't coast in your faith. To experience victory and success as a Christian, the Bible calls us to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's pedal to the metal living, okay? That's fully committed to the Lord. On this day for remembering, will you remember Jesus Christ in your life? Because if you remember Jesus, you can forget your worries. Who's there? It's Jesus. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Will you open the door to him today? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ, who said there's no greater love than a man has than to lay down his life for his friends. Thank you that Jesus laid down his life for us so that we could experience the true freedom of having our sins forgiven forever. Lord, I pray for each one here today that you will encourage them with your word to live for Jesus from this day forward, fully committed to him. And Lord, you would use this little church here in Manita to reach this community for Christ, to bring the peace and the comfort that people need to hear about. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your great love for us in Christ Jesus, whom we remember today, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.